Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight, I am joined by Tani, and Tani is definitely a podcast first because Tani is actually a mortician by trade, and I can definitely say we've never had anyone in that profession come on the podcast before. So, Tani, welcome to the show.
Hi, Cade. Hi, everyone.
It's super cool to have you on. Now, I am going to give everyone a little peek behind the curtain here is that this is actually take two of this recording, because the last time we spoke, you and I, we had some very unusual activity where something actually had to press the button and stopped our recording completely, which is very creepy. And I didn't tell you this yet, but I did hear some like very weird kind of voices over the recordings that we did have. So if I remember, I'll send you a copy of that because something was whispering your name. That was super odd.
Oh, wow. That's creepy.
Yeah, it's very creepy. So, To everyone, we're going to go through some things that are very unusual, but at the end of our initial recording, you kind of mentioned that you are a mortician and you've had some rather odd occurrences happen at your work. And that kind of almost seems a little bit like the most stereotypical thing ever, that a morgue is haunted. And you've had quite a few occurrences there. So do you mind kind of telling us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I've been doing mortuary work for about 7 years, and myself and my co-workers have all experienced the odd thing here and there. But one prominent case with me was one time I was working in the mortuary on my own. I was preparing a deceased, and you know, you're all with your scrubs and your gloves on, you're dressed up, and I heard my name clear as day being called out from the office space, which is like on the other side of these like flat doors that we've got. So I just yelled out, yep, coming. So it takes a while to take everything off and, you know, get ready to go back outside. I've walked outside going, yeah, and there's no one there. Like not one office lady. We had co-workers out on services, so there was no one around. So I, you know, did a double take. I walked around, had a look. No one. So I've just walked back in and gone, okay, that's cool.
And that's just the norm. That's the norm.
I guess it's one of those things where you just got to keep your mind open. It's a possibility, you know. Personally, when I'm working on a deceased, I always talk to them. I say hi. I compliment on what they're wearing, you know, how they're looking. I do all that sort of thing. I just treat them like they're there with me. Yeah. You're never alone, Cade. Like, no, there's always someone around.
I totally get that. And I feel like it's just one of those things that, you know, you're working with people, like, regardless of whether they're alive or they're not. Like, there's still that kind of personal connection that you have with someone.
Yeah. But I tell you what, when I find myself working on a deceased, I guess it feels like it's a shell, like the soul's gone. You kind of know what I mean. Like, it doesn't feel that they're there anymore, but you feel them around. But it's literally just an empty shell. So, yeah, I do believe that we go elsewhere after death.
Yeah. Is it something where when you were in there and you had this type of encounter, were you really much of a believer of the paranormal? Or was that kind of – well, let me rephrase that, because were you a believer of the paranormal before you got into this kind of line of work?
Yeah, I was. I've since young age, I've been experiencing things at my family home and then when I moved to my house and whatnot. But I did find that, yeah, what people say about funeral homes and cemeteries and – things do happen. You just have to be aware of things and think outside the square a little and try and debunk things, but also know that supernatural things do occur.
Yeah. And I feel like there's only a couple of really last resting places when it comes to like a body's life, like let alone a person's life, but a person's actual physical body. Yes. Because I don't know if you do cremations there or not, but that's kind of really the end of a line of someone's physical being. And I would imagine there's like a lot of emotion attached to that, not only just from, you know, yourself saying, well, you don't personally know these people, but that still would have been someone to kind of, you know, not that you're erasing them from the earth, but you're returning them to a different format of what they were. There's also like a little bit of emotional energy potentially from families as well in there.
Absolutely. You deal with a lot of emotions. And to say that, to assume that everyone or each family member is upset about, I mean, it is an upsetting occasion. However, sometimes people want to celebrate the life. Other instances of death are quite heartbreaking. So you can never assume the emotions of a family member. You just sometimes have to go along with how they're feeling. And if I can just make the day easier for their family, then I've done my job.
Yeah, that's really good. Mm. What's the vibe like when something like that happens? Because it sounds like there's a fair few people that this has happened to in your workplace. Does it start to become like a little bit of a competition on who's had the most types of encounters?
What we joke about is, oh, you know, you're taking a friend home, because like sometimes we'll come home and, you know, things might happen. Like I have a coworker from home where she went home one day after doing a transfer. So what a transfer is when we may be called to a hospital or a nursing home to pick up a deceased. So she's arrived home and her lights started flicking. They never flick, right? So she's trying to debunk it and gone and, you know, switch them off and try them on. And she just sat there and the lights kept flicking. And she said to me, she was looking down the hallway and she saw what she would describe as an orb, and it was just floating. And she just stared at this thing. It was like she thought having a staring competition. And all of a sudden, it just floated up and gone. And I said to her, because she's telling me the story, because she knows I love this stuff, but we just don't know what that was.
Yeah,
so you put it down to, you know, did someone follow you home? Do you have something living at home? What is it?
Yeah, that's a rather interesting thing. It's kind of like the hitchhiker effect. Yeah. Yeah, like people go into these haunted places and kind of feel like something attaches to them. I would imagine that's probably, and I'm absolutely assuming, but I would imagine that probably happens a fair bit, considering that this is the last resting place for a lot of these people's physical bodies.
Yeah, and look, I do wonder if while we're in the mortuary working, whether they're wondering what we're doing to them, or if they're they agree with what we're doing to them. You know, when it comes to hair and makeup or clothing, maybe they've got opinions of what the family chose for them. I would love to have a talk with them. I'd love to see or know what they're thinking. But one instance as well was when I was working in there, I was just on my own again and a whiff of cigarette smoke just came past me. I mean, and no one smokes in the mortuary. Like, it's just not allowed. And anyway, later found out that he was a heavy smoker.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, that's pretty cool that I feel that he was there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. It makes me wonder, like you said, you know, are they looking over your shoulder, just like kind of saying, well, this is how it is?
Yeah. I'll always wonder that. But yeah, it's a nice thought to think that, you know, I'm not alone and they're with me.
I was just going to ask you, has there ever been like any types of encounters that have kind of terrified anyone in that location from I guess, an unexpected visitor or anything like that?
So not terrifying, but very interesting because we believe we caught something on the cameras.
Oh, really?
This is interesting, actually, yeah. So this is down at the crematorium. Okay, so one evening, the crematorium operator had to stay back working late. So it's about 8:30 at night. Everything's closed shut. There's no one else there but him. So he's working away in the back of the chapels, which is where the crematorium is. And he happens to look up at the camera, which is facing like down the back of the chapels. So where the chapel doors are, where everyone comes in. And he sees this figure. And it's a big guy. Like, it's a big guy. He's bulky, and it looks like a person. So he doesn't freak out. He kind of just stares at this figure, takes a photo of it, goes up to the front of the chapels. It's not there. Okay. When he comes back, he realizes that the coffin that he's about to cremate is an oversized coffin. So we use oversized coffins for big people. It's a male. The figure that he saw was a male. Coincidence?
Oh,
we don't know, but we've got that footage. It's the closest thing that I think we've got from the workplace. I love it. Like, it's interesting. It's no one could believe it. Like, we were like, wow, what is that? Who is it? Because no one else would be on the grounds at that time of night,
yeah.
Let alone, you know.
That's creepy. That's really creepy. Like,
yeah.
I believe in coincidences, but I tell you.
Oh, that was just too weird.
Yeah, that's just a little bit out of the norm, if you ask me.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's another instance where one of our workers, she was working overnight, so doing transfers, and again, it's when you get a call to pick up a deceased. So she was just taking a break out in the car lot area and just having a smoke, and she sees like a light in the distance, right? So she's thinking, oh, it's a torch. It's, you know, who else is here? Because again, it's nighttime. The site's closed up. It's only staff that's allowed on site. Anyway, so she keeps staring at it. Again, it's just having this standoff again. And it's getting closer and it's getting bigger, right? And she's just staring at this thing. And it's doing like little swirls around, like back and forth. And it's coming closer. And she's just gone, nah. And just ran back inside. I don't blame her. She was on her own at the time. And again, you can't explain it. Like, what is a floating light? What's it doing? Like, what's it going to do? Is it going to pounce on you? Yeah. To this day, we don't know what it was.
It's rather interesting that so many people in this one building, and like, I find it fascinating that so many people are having encounters. And they all kind of seem different and unique and individual. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And I think they're kind of cheeky as well. Like, they like having a bit of fun with us. And it's not like we go looking for it. Like, these things just happen. Another instance was I arrived pretty early, say about just before 7. So I've come in through the kitchen to our change room, right? So where our change room is, there's another door which leads to the bathrooms of the mortuary. That door is always locked from the hallway. You can only access it from the mortuary. So anyway, I've gone into the change room I've come back out to walk back into the kitchen and I hear the door open, right? It wasn't the change room door. It was like coming from the other side. I've gone, oh. So I've turned back and I swear I knew I was the only one there at the time. I've gone back and the door's open, right? So I've gone, oh, that's okay. So at this point, I'm thinking there's someone else here and I'm feeling a bit, well, I've got to know who that is. So I've gone to the bathroom door. I've pushed it over, gone, hello, nothing. Okay. That door's always shut. The fact that it opened when I just happened to be walking, I don't know.
Does it ever creep you out?
That unsettled me a little just because at the time I thought that maybe there was not an intruder, but someone else, and they weren't making themselves known to me. So I felt a bit, you know, iffy about that. But yeah, after that, my fellow co-workers walked in and yeah, I was the first one there. So I don't, and you tell me how that door opened or unlocked itself.
You know, it does raise a genuine concern of, I guess, you know, personal safety when it comes to this stuff. And, you know, you're thinking, oh, no, this is just the ghost being silly buggers. And
well, that's the joke now. It's just like, oh, something fell. That's the joke. It's the ghost. It's,
yeah.
You know, something got moved. Nah, it's just the ghost. Yeah.
It sounds wild. Like, it's a genuinely crazy workplace to events to happen because, you know, it's a very... It's a very important job that you do, you know. I would imagine it's very down to the T. You've got to do things this way or that way. There's no ifs or buts at the end of the day.
No.
And to have all this stuff kind of go on, I guess it kind of just adds a bit of spice to the type of job that you have.
Yeah. Definitely keeps things more interesting.
I could imagine. I could imagine. So something that we did touch on a little bit earlier there was this hitchhiker effect. And this was actually kind of one of the main reasons that you contacted me originally, is that you believe you have a spirit that's kind of followed you from place to place. Can we go into that a little bit? Because that story is genuinely fascinating. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah. Okay. So this probably did start around the time that I started working at the funeral home. So when we first moved into the Blue Mountains area, we lived in a 3-bedroom home. At the time, it was just my husband and I and two dogs, and we lived on about like a long half acre block. So one Sunday afternoon, we'll just doing housework and I was outside gardening, and I remember seeing, well, so where I was standing, the room in front of me, I saw like a shadow figure, right? It was wearing like a Cobra hat, a silhouette of a man. And I thought, oh, that's probably my husband. You know, I'll yell out to him. Anyway, he didn't reply back to me. So I started getting a bit annoyed. So I've gone into the house to go, Daniel, you know, I've been calling you. Anyway, so I go in there. There's no one in there. Like, all right, it's a bit weird. Yeah, so I went looking for Daniel at this point. So I've gone to the back veranda and I see him right at the end of the yard. There is no way that from that moment that I was yelling at him that he could have run to the back of that yard. What was it? I don't know. I have no idea. But I remember that house too. We did hear quite a few footsteps. The dogs would act a little strange in that house. At the time, I put it down to my father-in-law recently passing away. You know, he I guess he used to wear a Kubra all the time, and I kind of just made that connection. So I did speak out loud to him one evening and just said, look, you're welcome to stay here. Just don't do any jump scares at us or anything like that, and we're cool. So we kind of lived with that for a little bit until we moved to the house where we are now. So the interesting thing with this house is that when we moved in, my husband started doing a lot of night shift. So I was at home alone with my dogs. And I remember one night, so we'd recently just moved in, I was getting ready to go to bed, and I heard the front door, which is downstairs, open, and then I heard boots walking. Again, this is the sort of uniform my husband wears as a tradie, right? As it's coming up the stairs, the boots, I hear the jiggle of the keys. You know how, like, you buckle them on your belt? All right, so at the stairs, we've got a bit of a stop platform, and then the stairs continue up. So I just stayed in bed thinking, oh, okay, like, he's going to come in any minute now. All the dogs are going to make noise. And nothing happens. So I'm just sitting there going, okay, well, why aren't the dogs barking or doing something? So I got up. Dogs were all asleep. They didn't move. So I went to the top of the stairs and I pooped down to see who it was. There's no one there.
Oh, wow.
So at that point, I'm thinking, well, there's someone in the house and they've just managed to sneak through to the other side of the house. So I woke the dogs up and we all went to the other side of the house to check. All right, because if I'm going to get attacked, the dogs will, like, hopefully pounce on the intruder first. And look, this is a recent, like, we recently just moved into the house. You know, you've got those nerves of being in a new area and, you know, people knowing that you moved in and, you know, me being on my own, female, you know, all those thoughts came into my head. Anyway, so I've gone room to room. I opened up the closets, everything. No one. So then I've gone, right, okay, I'm going a bit cuckoo. So I rang Daniel. I said, hey, like, where are you? And he goes, oh, I'm still in Sydney. Sydney from the Blue Mountains is about an hour and a half. So he was nowhere near home. So I thought, oh, okay, no worries, cool, cool. And I told him what happened. And yeah, we just kind of put it down to ghosty followed us home. I couldn't explain it. It was heavy footsteps. It was a person. That's what it sounded like. Yeah, so then after that, I just made sure I locked everything up. I double-checked everything, yeah, and just went to bed eventually. That wasn't the only instance, though. We've also had the dogs act a little strange, like they'll just stare up in space. And you know when someone's sort of trying to muck around with a dog and being real playful? They kind of, you know, get down with their bums up and, you know, they kind of start making some noises, like playful noises. So whatever it is here, because it's like today, like things still happen. At least they're a friendly ghost. So I'm happy with that. That's cool. They're welcome to stay just as long as, you know, they keep the peace and especially keep the animals happy as well.
Yeah, it's very unique to kind of hear of a positive haunting. And that's there's a lot of stigma around like living in haunted houses and things like that. But I always like to think that not every haunting is a bad one. Like some hauntings are just like yours. They just seem to be someone who's hanging around and is actually quite friendly.
Yeah, and I like to think, I mean, we're doing a lot of home renovations as well. So I'd like to think that they are happy with what we're doing, perhaps, whether it's the residential ghost or someone that's just hitched along for the ride. But I feel that they've got a good opinion of the house, perhaps. There's been instances where we've been renovating and, oh, actually, this is a good story. So my mum came to visit me one day and we were sitting in the kitchen just having a chit chat and one of the dogs was with us. And the rooms where we're renovating, we had to clear them out because we're going to get the floors polished. So there's no tools, there's nothing in here except for empty rooms. So we're just having a chat and all of a sudden you hear this drop, like as if someone just dropped a hammer. And the three of us, like as in including the dog, we've all just looked that way. And again, I'm thinking intruders in the house, you know. So I said, Mum, just stay here. I took my dogs all with me. And same thing. We went through all the bedrooms. We checked the closets. Nothing. and there's no equipment on the floor. So I have no idea where that bang came from, but it was clear as day. And I actually caught it on our Google Fam thing where the three of us all literally, we heard the sound and we've just looked.
Wow, that's unreal.
So that's pretty cool. I quite like that. Yeah, there's been other instances where my husband's been working in one of the rooms and I've been, you know, in the kitchen and he's gone, yeah, like yelled out at me. I said, what? He goes, you called me. I said, no, I didn't. So he's heard his name and Daniel is the skeptical one out of the two of us. But I believe he's quite a believer now because he's had some pretty strange things happen to him whilst renovating.
Yeah, right. So yeah. Your husband's always been a little bit on the fence about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'd come along with me to ghost tours and, you know, things like that because that's what a supportive husband does, you know. But we've been on a few ghost tours as well where things have happened to him and not to me, which have made him think, okay, that was a bit odd. For example, like we went to Monte Cristo.
Oh, wow.
Many years ago. And we're just doing like the night tour. Actually, this was a night tour, the dinner and the sleepover. That combination. And anyway, we're going through one of the rooms and I think at this point we've got a bit of free time. And he says to me, did you hear that? And I go, no, what'd you hear? Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, what'd you hear? He heard children laughing, like giggling. And ghost children creep me out, right?
Yeah, that is creepy.
So, yeah, and another experience we've had where we went to Parramatta Jail and we were walking down one of the cell blocks there. And we walked right to the end and it's pitch dark in there. And, you know, went to the end. Then we decided to walk back like really slowly. And we're just talking about, you know, how it feels in there and whatnot. And all of a sudden, this whiff of cigarette smell just passed, like it just passes us. But like right under your nose, you know, it's like it wanted to be noticed. And I just froze. I've just gone, oh my God, because it was that strong. So it was pretty cool.
It is rather unique to have someone who lives in a house kind of be skeptical and start to come over to the dark side, as I would say, to becoming a believer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even he says, oh, you know, ghosty's been around again or, you know, oh, actually what's been really cool is whilst we've been renovating, you know, we've been having to take the walls off and things like that. And we've found like really old cigarette butts and like old receipts from like a pharmacy. Yeah. I don't know if whether else is here. Is it there? Like, is it their belongings? So we've made a mental note that once we're close to finishing a certain room and we've found something, we'll put it back in there. You know, just we'll put it back out of respect as well.
So. Yeah. No, I think that's really cool. I'm a big fan of people paying homage to things, and that's like right up my alley. And it kind of fits in with like horror movie lore that you don't remove something from a location, and that sits well with me too.
Like a haunted Indian burial grounds.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you do live in the Blue Mountains, and
oh, I know.
There's so many creepy things that happen there.
So much. Like my husband, so Daniel grew up in Springwood, in the Blue Mountains. And he was telling, he's told me before about when he was about 16 or 17, his family and other families in the street all saw these lights up in the sky, right? So it wasn't just one person. It was several witnesses. I haven't been able to Google it, like find anything on Google about it. But, yeah, the fact that his neighbours saw these lights and he said that they just, I think there were about like 8 lights and they just flashed and just hung out there for a little bit and then they just went away.
Crazy.
Who knows? Who knows what that was?
And you know what I love about like these? Like that's not a historical encounter, but that's an encounter before modern technology. So, you know, drone technology wasn't around or anything like that.
No. Oh, no. God, no.
So, you know, I think that really adds a lot of credence to someone's encounter. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, he had it with so many other people there as well, I think is really cool.
Yeah, I think that's a bit special when, you know, a lot of other people witness something unusual. It's the same thing like when, you know, when I had that experience here, my mum was here or my co-workers at work. Like we, you know, it's not just you having these experiences. So you do feel closer to each other because you can all relate that there's something spooky going on here and we're all quite supportive of each other. We're not going crazy. You know, these things exist.
Yeah.
And I guess the more you're able to talk about it, then, well, you're probably feeding the energy a bit more as well.
It's an Ouroboros. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more they scare you, the more that you'll talk about them, the more powerful these entities get. But it is, you're right. It's really cool that like everyone has had their own encounters and things like that, because it does. It kind of creates this little sense of unity there that you're right. You're not crazy. These things are genuinely happening. And the fact that they're all kind of similar, but also just that little bit different, kind of lets you know that not everything that's happening is the same thing.
And I guess when things do happen, like we always try and debunk what's happened. You always try and find a logical explanation for it. And sometimes you just can't.
Yeah.
Like none of it makes sense. Another instance that's happened at home is with my dogs. So what happened here was we've got three dogs, right? So the youngest one, he's about 18 months. His name's Dominic. He's a real sweetheart. Anyway, one night he just started howling, right? And, you know, got up. It is probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. So I've gone over to see what was happening and, you know, get him to calm down because he's going to wake up the neighborhood with his house. So anyway, we got him awake and then back to sleep and that was it, right? So I thought, okay, just a one night, he probably had a puppy nightmare or something. Anyways, next night, it happens again around 2, I think this time it was about 2:30. I thought, okay, that's really weird. Like, doesn't matter, we'll calm him down again. Anyway, this happened for like every night for about 2 weeks, right? In this time, I'm talking to my friends in dog show world, asking them the question, have your dogs ever done this? Because I've never had a dog do this. This is the first time. So they just put it down to, you know, him having like nightmares or night terrors, you know, and just calm him down and you know, let him know he's a good boy. I was like, all right, cool. So this continued on for several weeks later. And Daniel and I at this point are not getting sleep. We're being woken up at ridiculous hours of the night. He starts howling. Then the others start howling. It was just becoming an issue. So I had Jack of it one night, and after we calmed him down, I just said out loud, please just let him sleep tonight and leave the dogs alone. Like, I was just filthy on this, right? Would you believe the next night we were slept, no howling? I thought, okay, coincidence, baby. Anyway, we left it. The following night, before we all went to bed, I did the exact same thing. I just said out loud, please just let the dog sleep. Let's have a calm night. No howling. So now religiously, I just say it every night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're good. We sleep. The dogs sleep. So I don't know, Kate. I can't explain that. That's really weird.
You know, again, it's one of these things that, you know, one time, yeah, it's a bit weird. Two times, maybe it's a coincidence, but if it's every night, that's divine intervention happening right there.
And I tell you what, like when I did speak to it out loud and it stopped, I couldn't have planned that. Like I just, it was too on point, you know? Yeah, that weirded me out a bit because now we're interacting.
Yeah.
Well, it feels like we're interacting, right? Even with the, you know, Daniel's name being called out. He's actually been touched, right? He's been in the room working where he's seen like a, I won't say an apparition, but like a fog, right?
Oh, wow.
Like on a fauna. Yeah. So for him, it's visual. For me, it's, you know, like more sound and more feelings. So it's approaching us in different ways. So I think I feel like we're getting the whole, like the full experience here because, I mean, we're both just experiencing hauntings on different levels.
It is rather interesting that you are experiencing this in like different ways. It's something I learned recently about the paranormal is that it can show itself to different people in different ways. And, you know, this almost sounds textbook to that kind of theory because I guess it all could potentially be to communicate in a way that is most effective with that person, because maybe if your husband is anything like me, he's probably half deaf, can't hear anything. So showing up's the best way, and for yourself probably, you know, hearing things is the way that reacts best for you.
Yeah. I also feel that because he's the skeptic, or once upon a time was a skeptic out of the two of us, I feel that maybe Ghosty feels that he might just need a bit of a nudge, like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah, you know, you, a little bit more effort gets put into him.
Yeah, whereas I'm the more, oh, yeah, you know, I feel it, you're here, like I know it. Yeah, maybe that's the approach. Actually, one other time too. So we're in the kitchen having like just a chat, right? And at the time we had a couch and I was sitting on the couch and he was facing towards like the lounge room where I am at the moment. And he actually saw something walk from like, I guess from this wall to the hallway, right? And he says to me, he just stared at it. And I said, what's wrong? And he goes, you won't believe that. And I go, what? Like, tell me. And he goes, I saw something. I go, what'd you see? And he goes, I just saw this shadow, just this thing just walk straight. I thought, oh, wow. So I get a bit jealous that he can experience these things and I can't. Yeah, but that's pretty cool.
It's such a great dynamic that you seem to have with your partner about this, because I think a lot of people would be rather terrified in a situation like that. I know my wife wouldn't be so accommodating to something like this happening in our house, and the fact that you and your husband just seem to roll with these punches like it's, and it's like you're jealous of the different types of encounters that you're having, I think it's hilarious. I am genuinely interested in how your husband kind of processes these things, because I feel like there would be some kind of chart that you could almost plot emotional response to these kind of situations, where if you're seeing something, I think that I would have more of a visceral reaction than hearing something. If I'm seeing this entity and this entity is starting to touch me, I don't know how I would feel about that personally.
I think his approach is, I'm going to fake it till I make it, as in I'm not going to let it instill fear in me. And look, I think we've been together for 100 years. And, you know, the moment he met me, I was always a believer. You know, I've experienced things since I was young and I've told him stories. And, you know, I think at the time he was quite supportive of my stories. However, because he hadn't really experienced anything, it was just, you know, a story to him.
Yeah.
You know, even when we would go on ghost tours and things like that, like, I guess we always went on them, you know, more as we'd sort of take them on the approach of them being a history tour, and then if you see a ghost or experience something, that's an added bonus, right? But I guess when his dad passed away, and then originally when I saw that figure at the other house, he kind of took note of it, but I don't think it really sunk in to him what I was telling him or describing to him. And then when we moved here, and the footsteps were a big thing, like I was hearing them all the time, and it was always when he was at night shift. So I kind of feel a little that maybe it was his dad maybe protecting the house a little.
Kind of looking over it. Because
there's a bit more to this house. So, right, when we moved into this house, this is actually the house where Daniel and his family, well, where Daniel grew up. So his family lived here for a very long time, and then they sold the property to another family. That family lived in this house for about 15 years, and then we moved in, right? So while we've been renovating, we have found like little notes or I guess things that his dad has written on, like, you know, behind the walls, and like there's still some tools that belong to him down in the workshop, you know, things like that. So I just feel that although Daniel's not emotionally connected to the house, but I feel like some, for whatever reason, we've returned here. For whatever. I can't explain why, but we were made to come back here. Whether it was to jazz up the place again, I'm not sure. But yeah, that's why I feel that whatever is here with us, it's happy that we're here, or that it's a little cheeky. It's not malicious at all. And I don't feel unsafe or that we're not welcomed here. So I think we've got a pretty good understanding or, yeah, living arrangement here. Because they don't pay rent though, so.
you got to sort that out. You got to get that ghostly rental clause happening for sure. Right. Well, Tani, thank you so much for coming onto the show again. It's
thank you.
It is rather bizarre that the first time we recorded that some very unusual activity happened, and yeah. You know, it looks like everything has just sailed smoothly today. So I'm very thankful for the ghosties on your side for playing nicely with us on this end.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, but you know, I find your situation really fascinating and really cool. The fact that you kind of work in this haunted location, and it kind of just, everything just rolls off the bat there, and everyone's having encounters. It kind of just seems like this a very obscure place in the world, and then you come home and then you've got another set of kind of paranormal encounters happening.
Yeah.
That just, I don't know, your life is this fascinating paranormal puzzle.
I think that, look, it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, I do welcome it, because at the end of the day, I feel that we've moved into this space, and same with my workplace. You know, I'm the worker there, and these entities, I'll say, I don't know how long they've been there. You know, I feel that I'm the visitor there, and same with home. You know, it is home, but at the end of the day, I'm sharing this space with whatever's here. And so are the dogs. So like I said, I my priority is just leave peacefully at home, you know, let's have some fun as well, but let's just make this work.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets, and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.